In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O God, whose never-failing providence ordered all things both in heaven and earth, we humbly beseech thee to put away from us all hurtful things and to give us those things which are profitable for us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We begin today, my brothers and sisters, with the reading from the Old Testament aside. If we should look in our lectionaries, it is from Ecclesiasticus, from the Apocrypha, and it's a portion of the ancient wisdom literature. That ancient wisdom literature that is sadly neglected in our time. And Ecclesiasticus reminds us of the true measure of holiness. What is it to be holy? How can we be holy? What does it mean to be holy? It is simply this, my brothers and sisters, to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord, we are told, is not a form of dread, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A reverent humility before God that orders the soul. To fear God, it is not loud, it is not boastful, it is not anxious for reward, but to fear God, it is steady, it is quiet, it is firm. So the wise man in Ecclesiasticus is not driven by passions, but the wise man is ruled by understanding. The wise man keeps the commandments not for show, but because the wise man loves the giver of the law, God. And in that same Ecclesiasticus today, we hear these words. A patient man will bear for a time, and afterward joy shall spring up unto him. These words call us to a life of depth. Not the surface religion of appearances. And we have a lot of that around us in the United States and all over the world. Appearances. But holiness, the life in God, invites us to go inside of us. The interior life that is shaped by reverence, repentance, and self-discipline. How do we get holy? We get holy by being reverent, by repenting of the sins that we fall into day by day, and by self-discipline. Such a life, my brothers and sisters, is only possible through the grace of God. We can't do it on our own. We cannot and will never be able to do it. And that is why we find out about this grace, which brings us to the words of St. Paul in today's epistle. What does he say? St. Paul in today's epistle says, "Brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. We owe the world nothing. We owe our old nature nothing. our old nature led only to death. But now, by the mercy of God, we are no longer slaves to sin. We are instead sons and daughters. We are children of grace. So St. Paul, in his epistle today, speaks of a spiritual adoption. How are we related to God? Ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. And we must, as we look at the epistle today, my friends, it is not poetic language. It is reality. Reality. Those who are in Christ are given something. Those who are in Christ are given His Spirit. And when we are given the Spirit of Christ, it leads us to do something. When we are given the Spirit of Christ, it leads us to mortify sin. All of us who are Christians, who try to live the Christian life, we are called to mortify sin, to reject the ways of the flesh, and to walk as those who belong to the household of God. Household of God, Father, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. And with that spirit comes the assurance. Not that we are perfect, but that we are His. Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, we are His. Yet, my friend, St. Paul does not promise ease. To live the Christian life is not easy. It is very difficult. And he goes on to say, if we are children, then we are also heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him. So, the way of righteousness will cost us. Nobody gets away. It is costly. Anybody who wishes to live the Christian life, it is going to cost us something. We must put to death something, some things. We must put to death pride. We must put to death lust. We must put to death greed. We must put to death selfishness. But this struggle, born in grace, leads us not to despair, but to glory. For we are not living after the flesh, but we are being led by the Spirit of God. Which brings us now to the gospel for today, where our Lord Jesus Christ gives a word both of warning and discernment. And this is the word that he gives us that we will take with us throughout this week. He says here, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. This is not a theoretical danger. It is a present one in the United States of America and all over the world. When we look at social media, we have so many false prophets, so many self-appointed prophets preaching erroneous doctrine. And we who are in these traditional churches are being carried away. But the Bible says, beware of false prophets. There are always voices, even within the visible church, that distort the gospel. Many of us have come here because where we grew up hearing the gospel distorted. That's why we have come here. Distort the gospel. Voices that bless what God has not blessed. Voices that lead the flock not into life, but voices that lead the flock into confusion. Many Christians are today confused. Our Lord does not say to judge by titles or robes or eloquence. He says, judge by fruit, by their fruits. Ye shall know them. Ye shall know them by their fruits. A tree is known not by its leaves or bark, but by its fruit. What does the tree produce? What type of a fruit? Does it lead to holiness, humility, truth, and charity? Or does it stir up pride, division, flattery, and indulgence? Our Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear, my brothers and sisters, not my words, but his words. He says, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, nor can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. But this word is not only a test of others. It is a mirror held up to us. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. These are some of the most sobering words in the gospel. Most sobering words in the gospel. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Religious language is not enough. Familiarity with Jesus Christ is not enough. What matters, my friends, is obedience. He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's my understanding of it. Obedience. This is where the three lessons converge. Old Testament, New Testament, the Old Testament epistle, and gospel. The wisdom of Ecclesiasticus, the assurance of adoption in Romans, and the searching words of Jesus Christ. God desires not just that we say the right things, but that we live the truth, that we repent daily. Again, I say, many churches you go, you hear them talk about love, love, love. Yes, it's all about love. But before there can be love, we have to repent. We don't hear the word repentance in our traditional churches anymore. Repent daily. Mortify sin, that we bear fruit worthy of our calling. So let us pray then, as the collect for today teaches us. O God, whose never failing providence ordereth all things, both in heaven and earth, we humbly beseech thee to put away from us all hurtful things, and to give us those things which are profitable for us, that we might live not in appearance only, but in true and faithful holiness. And let us remember, my friends, always, good fruit does not come from effort alone. It comes from abiding in the vine, who is Christ. Abiding in the vine, who is Christ. So we take for this week, stay near to him, and you will never be barren. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.